October 5th, 2022, 14:16 hours. Word green here. So we have today little children, Psalms 5, Ecclesiastes 5. I think I know Ecclesiastes 5. It seems to me there are some scriptures in there with which I'm more familiar than some other chapters, than with the content of some other chapters. There's some other problems we're having with reflections. Let me fix this. Okay. Yeah, that's not too bad. Wait a minute. Hang on. Stop. Can I get it dark? I'm going to have to minimize that. Okay. Oh, yeah. I need to minimize the bright. There we go. Once we get some of the brightest things minimized, oh, there's still some bright reflection. What's that from? Look at that. Something. Is that from this? Okay. Turn off the heat. It might be the heat. Could the heat be really shining on the screen? It is. The heat was shining on the screen, even though it's underneath the table. It was reflecting off of something. So, I have, in addition to what I've been discussing, let's see here. There we go. The reason I couldn't find my information in the browser the last time was because it was a maximized window and it wasn't showing up anywhere. It was off to the right, which is where macOS puts their maximized window. So it's I needed to do control arrow right in order to see it. So I wasn't able to see it. That's what was happening. But in my browser here, right now, I can show. There's a new report, brand new report that chess.com has released regarding Hans Niemann. So if you'd like to read that, you can. It adds a few details about, for example, the way that, well, the fact that chess.com does not analyze correlations or skill level based on the same method that was being discussed elsewhere, where in that case 100% correlation meant a perfect score, whereas the chess.com numbers can go as high as 150. So they're using a different scale. But other than that, the most, I think, significant thing that they said was that they don't have any idea about whether Hans cheated over the board, and they're also saying there's no evidence, as far as they're concerned, that Hans cheated over the board. They don't have any interest in claiming that Hans cheated over the board, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about online cheating. This report is about online cheating, and also Hans did not cheat in recent years, more recent than September 2020 or something like that. So, and that was online. When Hans was cheating, he was a teenager, and he still is, but he was a teenager then. And he apparently stopped cheating at that time because they have no further proof of it. And yet, even though Hans stopped cheating and they acknowledge this, evidently they do anyway, they're saying they don't claim that there's any cheating after 2020, as far as I could. Well, I'm not really interested in their viewpoint only, so I'm not going to be interested in trying to verify everything that they might say in their report, because they could come out and say something slightly different later on, so that's not worth worrying about. But as far as I can gather, Hans did not cheat online after 2020. Is what everybody seems to be saying, not just them, but that's it's I mean, if that's significant, because Hans is claiming he didn't cheat. Hans himself, after 2020, Hans admits to cheating up to that point, but not after. So that's a significant thing. If Hans is lying about that, then he could be lying about a lot of other things. So, but we have no reason to believe that Hans is lying, so there's no, that's a nonsensical path of logic. We're not going to go down that path unless, and see, and I mean, the other side of it is, if we take that argument further, then all someone has to do is plant some evidence against Hans, if that's possible even, and then his whole reputation could fall, because people are looking for evidence of lying and cheating, any evidence to try and prove that he cheated in some other way is what people are looking for. The malcontents are looking for that. Anybody who's a happy individual is not trying to crucify Hans. But, I mean, it's something to think about, that if it were possible to frame somebody, then Hans would be a candidate to be framed, assuming there's any interest in doing that. For example, when the police... the classical police, whatever you want to call it, the traditional people called that we call the police in the real world, when they frame somebody, it's because they want to get a conviction, and it looks good on their record if they get a conviction. That's the reason for doing it. There's no reason that I can think of why that would be true, to get a conviction in the chess world or against somebody, or some kind of proof against somebody. Can't think of a reason, but there can be jealousy, and maybe that's the reason or something. It's hard to say what the reason could be. So Hans needs to be aware that he's got to try to, you know, live up to the very best standard that he can if he wants to, and avoid the possibility that somebody could frame him, I guess, is one thing, because he's susceptible now to being framed, because his record isn't squeaky clean, right? So... but what they did show is that a number of other grandmasters have been cheating online. That's the other significant thing in this report. So Hans is not the only one, and he was young. Maybe some of these other ones are not all that young, but a grandmaster, they can be a grandmaster as young as 15 years old or something like that, but it's not. I'm not. They didn't say how young these people were who had been caught cheating. If they're online, maybe they don't know how old they are, if they don't have every piece of evidence except the online data. So, I'm not sure. But, well, there's the age right there. Look, age 14, 15, 12. Farouj is 19 years old. Really? Ali Reza Farouja is 19 years old. I did not know that. I thought Hans was the youngest of all of them, but apparently there's Eregesi. Of course, I knew there were some young players. Eregesi Arjun, I knew he was young, and he's 19, but I didn't know how young, or I think I, well, maybe I did know. Gukesh is 16. Yeah, so a lot of these players are very young. It's because you have to be fairly strong physically in order to play chess. It takes a lot of energy, so these young players are able to do that. Most of them are young. Wow. I didn't know this. Okay, so, but and probably the other grandmasters who were caught cheating are also young. It's possible. But they're, like I said, they were caught cheating online. And chess.com is the best at it. They have the best cheat detection, according to Hans Niemann. So he should know, maybe, but his is only one quote that they had, that they gave here about that. The only quote they gave about that was from Hans. But chess.com does a very thorough job to make the third point. They do a detailed analysis of cheating using a multifaceted approach. using technical analysis and also the use of the advice of other grandmasters and knowledgeable people. But it's a multifaceted approach. It's not just those two approaches, but other methods as well. It's quite a thorough method for detecting online cheating. Online cheating, one of the ways they use is the fact that if someone's using a browser and they're tabbing, toggling between tabs while they're playing a game using the browser, they're playing the browser in one tab. They're playing the game, in one tab. The chess game is in one tab, and the cheating engine is in the other, possibly. But they're using two tabs. They're toggling. That's considered suspicious, to be toggling between tabs when you're playing a game of chess. It seems obvious that that would be suspicious, right? And I listened to Levy's post about this new report from chess.com, and also I listened to Ben Feingold and what he said about this. I don't think that Ben really added anything new to what he'd said before, except I think Ben, his viewpoint seems to have changed, but I mean he's updated it. His ideas haven't really changed. He was basically right about the fact that a very low percentage of people who cheat online actually cheat over the board. Is that what it was? No, let me think. No, it's online. I take that back. That's what he said. And I think he's right about that, probably. But the other thing I was trying to say is what chess.com said. And they didn't confirm that. What they said was that a very low percentage of people who play chess online on chess.com, in their opinion, ever cheat. Very few of them, they estimate, fewer than 0.14% of their players on chess.com cheat. Fewer than 0.14%. Well, 1% is 1 in 100, so 14 people in 10,000. Is it? Yeah, 14 people in 10,000. That's how many people cheat online on the chess.com website, so it's not too many. Yeah, I think also Levy seemed to find that interesting too, but there's a lot of interesting things. Am I really recording right now? Let me check something here. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. So I've been scrolling through this. I don't know if I'll read the whole report or not. I probably will as soon as I need to know. So young people, as we know, are more susceptible to a temptation to do foolish things, perhaps when they're in their teens. It's not it doesn't make it what's wrong with my light here? Oh, I know why. It's because of this. Let's just put that down. Is that why? I'm not sure. It looks better if I look at the proper screen. Teenagers have some considerable adjustments to make as they become adults. They have decisions that they have to make. And that's not an excuse, but it is a reason, perhaps, that we can be aware that their behavior may not be permanent. What they're doing when they're a teenager might not be their permanent and final personality, because they're growing into adults and they're undergoing certain conflicts during that process. I want to get that window back open again. Yeah, it's about the same, I think. Now, why was this important to talk about? I mean, we need to pay attention to our own teaching, not to the teaching of other people, right? That's the idea. That's the most important thing. So, I mean, that's the idea that's also presented in the Bible, too, that we should pay attention to our own teaching, not to other people's teachings. But, I mean, primarily, we pay attention to our own ideas and keep track of what we're saying. So what I said in the previous video was that, you know, we should give Hans the benefit of the doubt. In this report, they said they gave Hans the benefit of the doubt before they decided he was cheating, you know, online, though. The cheating was online. I was saying we should give him the benefit of the doubt with regard to the over-the-board cheating idea, which is not... There is no evidence that we can really state other than statistical evidence, which is never conclusive. Statistics are never conclusive, unfortunately, even though... You have to use other evidence in addition to statistics. It wouldn't be sufficient to say just because it's a one in a million, therefore he's cheating. I mean, something, one in a million does happen. So, but even if one in a million happens a million times in a row, which is statistically almost impossible, based on probability alone, it's still possible that it can happen, nonetheless. It's still possible. So you can't state with any certainty anything about statistics because, I mean, somebody can be, miracles have been documented. There are such things as miracles. And there are people who say, well, there are no miracles today. Well, that's silly. Of course there are miracles today, just like there were miracles in the past. So, and this is, to try and say, well, we know that there are no miracles today, that's a very narrow-minded kind of viewpoint. I mean, doctors know there are miracles. Doctors have witnessed miracles, and they've had to sort of scratch their heads and say that was a miracle, right? We don't know any other explanation. Doctors experience that. Get on the subject of doctors. Yeah, that's a good segue because I just remembered that Max Gerson. I think I talked about this before, but I want to review it. Max Gerson treated cancer. In a very famous case, the case of Albert Schweitzer, who was a famous person. Max Gerson was actually, I guess he was a physician, eh? Yeah, he was a physician. And, wow, in the book called A Cancer Therapy Results, Cancer Therapy Results, 5th edition, Max Gerson, M.D., Del Mar, California, 1958, 1975, 1977, Totality Book Publishers. Gerson often used 3 caustic potassium salts to successfully treat his cancer patients. This is page 68 of The Calcium Factor. Calcium Factor by Robert R. Barefoot and Carl J. Reich, M.D., copyright 2002. This, he treated his cancer patients with these 3 caustic potassium salts, potassium gluconate, acetate, and phosphate. He knew that potassium was supposed to be a normal constituent of the cell serum. It should also be found in moderate amounts in blood serum. However, Gerson observed that many of his cancer patients showed abnormally high levels of this mineral in blood serum. To the horror of his medical colleagues, he fed these patients large doses of his potassium mixture in juices and found that the potassium level in their blood serum dropped very low as they made fast recoveries. So what was happening? That's enough of that probably, but we don't use blood. That's the reason we don't use blood to diagnose, I mean... As a Christian and a person who is faithful to the scriptures, we don't use blood because it says in the Bible about not consuming blood. And there's the figurative sense of consumption, which also means analyzing. So there's a figurative, the use of blood is also can be taken as you know, in the New Testament they say abstain from blood. Well, that if we're going to abstain from blood, we have to not use it as well for human purposes, which human purposes are always corrupt. That's the problem. They're always somehow corrupt, even if we intend them to be good. So using blood for analyzing things is not good. But there's another reason, though, that we can reason it. There's another reason that we can see using logic why blood doesn't work as an analysis tool. And that is because blood's a conduit for the nutrients. They can be carried from the bones, like calcium can be taken from the bones and carried to the cells. So when calcium is high in the blood, that typically indicates that the bones are dissolving. It's not a good sign to have high calcium in the blood. Whereas if you're taking, you know, calcium supplements, you're not going to need to have your bones dissolve. You know, so, but the thing is, you still might have calcium in the blood. It's just not going to indicate. The calcium in the blood doesn't indicate anything as to your health. Just like the potassium did not indicate that he was severely deficient in potassium. When he had cancer, he needed to... Albert Schweitzer needed potassium, evidently, even though his blood serum showed high potassium. So we don't need to use the blood at all to do these things. Max Gerson gave him potassium, and he got better. But does that mean that, you know, you see, it's wrong to use that. Because if you use that, then you start thinking, well, how can I do it? I'm going to try to follow the same procedure. They used blood analysis, so I have to use blood analysis. You don't have to use blood analysis. I don't advise any blood analysis at all, because the body knows what it needs. If you listen to your body, and if you question everything appropriately, like if you need something and you know you're dying, you feel it. If you feel you're not well. Then you get it. If you ask Jehovah, he might tell you, well, maybe you need potassium. So you go and you could try a little bit of potassium and see what it does. If you react to it, then probably that's a sign that you need potassium. Or that you need to avoid it, one or the other, but it could mean you need potassium. So it's easy to find out on your own without doing any ridiculous tests. The other thing that people say about calcium is if you do a bone density test. But my wife did that. She did the bone density tests and all that because she was involved in the medical system, which I'm not. I don't believe now I believe even less in the medical system than I did then. Where am I sitting here? Yeah. So I'm trying to sit in the center of the cam if I can. So that's probably more like it. So I think that's better maybe. Yeah, trying to center myself slightly in the camera, or somewhat. So I don't believe in the current medical system because they're so ignorant of everything. And the reason why they're ignorant of everything is because they're focused on their own methods of treating and their own so-called knowledge. They have they completely miss everything. Like they miss the idea that blood levels mean nothing. They miss that. They completely ignore that. They don't even. But I'm not being critical on that one point only. I'm just saying that everything is to be criticized, actually, because they're not aware of their own lack of knowledge. That's the problem. They're not aware of their own limitations. They don't know anything about how little anyone knows, first of all, but how little they know themselves also. They're not aware of that. They're not humble. And every patient is going to be different. So only the patient really knows what's wrong with them. That's the other thing. For a doctor to be just pumping some drug into somebody, just doing things, it's like random is what it boils down to compared to the real proper treatment of that patient, which is for the patient to find out what vitamin, mineral. It's got to be something like a food. It has to be a food. You can't, you know, I mean, a patient would never consider using poison to treat themselves. And so why are the doctors using poison to treat the patients? It doesn't make any sense to me. But, I mean, to Jehovah, it doesn't make any sense either. To your body, it makes no sense. It makes sense to nobody and nothing, basically. It just doesn't make sense the way they treat people. And surgery doesn't make sense if it can be avoided, right? Can you imagine having surgery for a bone spur when all you have to do is take more calcium? I mean, we talked about that before. Bone spur can be the body's way of saying, you don't have enough calcium. We've got to make a bone spur so you don't break your bones by walking too fast or something. I mean, but your body will tell you in many different ways, many ways, in so many ways, right? Like vitamin K2 is the other thing is I don't understand why they don't give vitamin K2. When my wife was dying, when she was non-responsive in the hospital, she was already really gone at that point. It was just a technicality. She never became conscious again. But when she was unresponsive, at that point, she had become unresponsive, been taken to the hospital. This was her final days of her life. I asked the doctor, what about her vitamin K2 level? Because I thought vitamin K2 is the key to almost everything in the body, because calcium is the main mineral in the body, and vitamin K2 is the calcium vitamin. So I asked the doctor, what about vitamin K2? If I look up there, that's no good. Where am I getting those reflections from? And when I asked the doctor about vitamin K2, all I got, let me see, let's just fix this. I'm going to change this. All I got in response was that the levels of K2 were normal. But that's, she's talking about the blood levels of K2, which means nothing. Because you can't judge what's in the body based on what's in the blood. It just doesn't tell you anything. So that whole idea, let's see, oh yeah, that's what I can do, right? Yeah, okay, well, let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah. Good. That's better. Okay. So this idea of, you know, a doctor trying to tell us what's in the blood based on, or I mean, what's in the body based on the blood is. It's just the whole idea of blood. Forget blood. Forget analyzing blood. Forget it entirely, because it's just going to cause unnecessary. Well, it's just wrong. First, it's just wrong. It's not what it causes. It's just wrong. It's wrong to even consider it. So, is this okay if I look up? No, I can't look up. If I turn my head, I'm looking up. Oh, it's because of that bright window. Let's close that. Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's better. That's much better, but still not perfect. Let me see what we can do here. Is that better? Probably. I'm still getting a lot of reflections. I probably need to minimize this. That might be a little better. No, but the idea is, I mean, knowing if I'd been in charge, I would have tried vitamin K2 because there was nothing to lose at that point. But you can't explain. I couldn't even explain that. I couldn't even try to explain that because it wouldn't have been making any sense as far as talking to a physician about that who's part of the medical establishment. And of course, you know, if I'd been the only one who had any option to try anything, then I probably would have tried K2, because that would have been the only thing I would have thought was possible that could have helped her, that could have possibly helped her. Because K2 is what makes calcium work, and then calcium could do the other things, and then everything can happen in the body. You'd need other vitamins and minerals too, like calcium and vitamin D and so on, and magnesium, but you need K2 though. You need sufficient K2, and if somebody's unresponsive, my inclination, you know, is that it's probably the K2 that's the problem, that's lacking. Probably deficient. It's always deficient, is my thought. And that's not based on anything to do with blood. We can't base our ideas on blood, because it's completely fallacious. But we can base our ideas on the fact that these vitamins and minerals are known to work. and we can base it on how well they work and things like that, and how commonly all the different symptoms they eliminate, because the overall health goes up. We're not trying to eliminate any symptom unless the overall health goes up as well. We raise the level of health. If we raise the level of the health in the body, overall health, then it's good if some of these unwanted symptoms also go away. That's the proper way to treat things. But anyway, that was one. That's the only real sort of treatment that I can remember that I mentioned K2. That was the best I could do, was mention it to the doctor. I didn't think it would have been appropriate for me to say, for me to ask that they try raising the level of K2. I didn't think that was appropriate. So, plus I was also somewhat in some kind of trauma also at the time. I didn't want to add to my own trauma by, you know, possibly causing, I mean, she might not die. She might have died anyway. She died soon after that, but she might have died after giving the K2, and then the death could, I was afraid that could happen, and then the death could be attributed to the K2, which would be false, right? I think that's one of my fears about any treatment, is that it has to be possible to benefit people in the future. You can't give a treatment with the idea that, well, it might not work in this case, and it might cause everyone to condemn the use of that treatment in the future, but it's still okay. I don't believe you can use that or follow that path. That path, it has to be a path where if we use a treatment, it has to possibly benefit the person, but it also has to be a situation that's conducive to the use of that treatment if it's successful. The use of that treatment in the future, and if it fails, it has to not eliminate the use of that treatment in the future. If it's a potentially very beneficial treatment, then you don't want to eliminate that in the future for other people to use. So the proper use of a treatment, the ethics of the way that people need to be treated has to be not to kill everybody else. If you save one person, that's why it's particularly good that we have the resurrection hope too, because we all die at some point, right? But in this system, we all die. So the resurrection hope is the way that we can help understand why we don't have an obligation to help one person at the expense of everybody else. In the current system, we want to have people living, if possible, everybody. And if somebody is dying, and she was dying a death by natural causes. I mean, she was dying a natural death, and she was 92 years old. She outlived both of her parents, so it was not the situation where it seemed appropriate to be doing something crazy, you know, I was alone at that point because Anne wasn't with me anymore. Anne was telling me, before she became unresponsive, she said, start the K2. Start the K was what she said. Which I took to mean, you know, start giving the K2, because we'd stopped the K2 at some point because they didn't let us give her K2 probably with the advice of Anne's physician also, but they'd stopped. We don't know. I don't know if it had the permission of Anne's physician or not, but they had stopped the K2 at the retirement home. They prevented me giving the K2. So, and that was there's another story I can't get into right now, but the police were involved, it's another story. But anyway, they stopped this, the use of the K2, which could have been what killed her too. That could easily be what killed her, was the stopping of the K2. Easily could have been. But that's really not, it's not kind of my soapbox or anything, but it's a very important point. I believe that the power of K2 should never be underestimated. It's the most non-toxic vitamin that I know of. It has been used, oh my goodness, it prevents crowding of teeth in children. It is amazing. You can take almost an unlimited amount of it. I'm going to go overboard if I'm not careful. It revolutionizes a person's health in a vast number of ways, in my opinion. Okay, so, but stopping sugar is almost as effective in a lot. I mean, it almost touches as many areas like of health too. I'm not saying that K2 is the only. I mean, stopping the use of processed sugar is an enormous thing. I've just learned that in the past couple of weeks, like if even that long. Yeah, that's so. It's not the only key. It's not the only thing that someone can do to help their health. Or, you know, calcium supplements is an enormous help if you can't take dairy products. But you need magnesium, vitamin D, boron, and vitamin K2 all at the same time to really get the benefit of this calcium that you're taking, or whether it's dairy or whatever. But. Oh, how did I get into that? But we got into a lot of discussion there about, and I haven't mentioned glutathione. That's another one, which I don't talk about as much. But that's another potentially important assist for the production of human growth hormone in older people. But young people might benefit from glutathione too. But I don't know enough. And about the young people, I was talking about how. Young people might or might not benefit from xylitol, but if they, of course, once they get permanent teeth, that's when xylitol can really be the benefit, because they're not going to lose those teeth, and it's going to be long-lasting benefit right up until they're never going to have cavities, maybe for their whole life if they use xylitol in their gum. You know, if they chew after every meal or something. I mean, it's just, and. Even if they don't brush after every meal. I don't brush after every meal. I haven't had cavities in a couple of years now. And I had cavities every single visit. I mean, every 6 months I go to the dentist. And I have a visit and I have a checkup. But I no cavities, no new cavities. I had one fall out, but no new cavities in like 2 years. Maybe it's more now than 2 years. Using my own toothpaste, too, with no fluoride. Yeah, fluoride's a poison. Fluoride is a deadly poison. It really is. It's a killer. Like, and you don't want to take it into your mouth even. I had a fluoride treatment in my mouth because that was recommended or whatever, because I was getting cavities. So I had the fluoride, they spray the paint fluoride on your teeth as a treatment to prevent cavities, right? And I could feel the effect in my brain. The day after, the day of, you know, the next couple of days, I felt like that was a poison. I felt it. So I from then on, I said, forget fluoride. But I also stopped using it in my toothpaste too. Probably because of that. I finally agreed with other people who were saying don't use fluoride. My big fear was I would get cavities, right, if I didn't use fluoride toothpaste, because that's what they lie and tell you. That's what they do. They tell you that fluoride, you need it. It's a poison. And the fluoride that they get, that they put in water comes from agricultural fertilizer processing or something where it's got heavy metals and fluoride, all these things, fluorine and other things in it. In addition to the fluoride, that's poison. All of it's poison, and they put that in the water that people drink in the cities that use fluoride treatments in the water. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrific. Like, fluoride's more poison than lead. Like, lead is something you never put in food, right? And there's probably lead in the fluoride they're using, too. There's heavy metals in the fluoride that they're putting in people's water. They're probably, maybe there isn't in the toothpaste. I don't know. Could be in the toothpaste, too. But whatever it is, you don't want to put fluoride in. Even fluoride alone, it's more poison than lead. More poison than lead. So why would you put fluoride in your toothpaste if it's more poison than lead? You never would. But that's what they're doing. Another, not a fun fact, it's just a fact. So if you can get away from fluoride, it's great. And you can do it using coconut oil, baking soda, and xylitol mixed together. Roughly 1:1:1, roughly, I mean very roughly, but you find the combination that works best for you. Doesn't really particularly matter, I don't think, and you flavor it with an essential oil like peppermint or something, and whatever oil, I'm using peppermint, but I guess you could use an essential oil of spearmint or essential oil of something else to get your flavor. I could experiment later on. I just want to make sure I keep using the same toothpaste for a long enough time, so when I change, if I suddenly get cavities, I'll know why. But I'm not getting any cavities. And I brush once a day. That's all I do. But I do a lot of other things in addition to brushing. I get, you know, the water pick and the in-between brushes and the floss. And the, I've got a vibrating in-between brush for the places I can get in with it. And I've got smaller, two other in-between brushes. I have, I use a sonic toothbrush, which is pretty effective. I've got the floss. I use silk floss, natural floss, because I found out there's some rumors that the artificial floss is linked to cancer. For the floss I was using, which was Glide, it's not really proven, just there's some possible link to cancer. So I said, well, forget that. I'll use natural silk. It's got a wax coating or something, because it's not supposed to be cancer causing or whatever. You know, I'll try and avoid cancer in other ways besides my diet, which is, you know, calcium is a good anti-cancer too, because it's an antioxidant, because calcium is an oxygen-rich substance, because calcium allows oxygen, because oxygen is deadly, really, in a sense, right? It's because it sucks up electrons. So if you want to get oxygen into your body, which it's essential, but it's deadly, if you want to get it into your body, you need something that has electrons that can donate the electrons to the oxygen, so the oxygen won't kill you. So that's why calcium allows you to breathe more oxygen in, and it allows the oxygenation of your body. And in this same page, referring back to the page 68 again, it mentions something about, at the end of that paragraph, it said on page 69, since the cancer cells are anaerobic, the addition of oxygen is incompatible with and assists in reversing the production of toxic enzymes, thereby disarming cancer's trigger mechanism. So Gerson also found, just in the previous sentence, that an intravenous treatment of 90% oxygen and 10% ozone injected into the vein with a very thin needle, so that the bubbles of gas were tiny and the gas quickly absorbed, would attack the malignant tissue on contact. So he used oxygen to treat and kill cancer as well. And this was discovered by the Nobel Prize winner Otto Warburg, who also did animal experiments where he injected acid into rats or mice or whatever it was. And so it was not a humane experiment from the standpoint of the animal's treatment. But he induced cancer in mice or rats using acid, which drives out oxygen, because acid is... What does acid do? Let me think. I mean, what is it in the term? It's an H plus, right? H plus meaning, oxygen, hydroxide, right? The opposite of acid is base or hydroxyl, which is OH minus. And alkaline, pH is supposed to be oxygen rich. Acid pH is oxygen poor. It drives out the oxygen. I'm trying to think of the chemical reason. I can't think of the reason why we could say that right now. I mean, we need to think about it. But that's believed to be the case. That's sort of common knowledge, at least for the Nobel Prize winner Otto Warburg. You know. And that doesn't mean that every Nobel Prize is equal. Like, just because somebody got the Nobel Prize for something, some study about the theory of evolution, which is not even true, for example. I mean, there could be Nobel Prizes that are true and good ones, and there could be bad ones, just like, you know, that are not based on anything real. Just like anything else, it doesn't mean, or like there can be great Oscar performances at the Oscars, you know, at the Academy Awards, and there can be not so great awards, just like anything, ones you agree with and ones you don't, or ones that are good and ones that aren't. ones that are, you know, I mean, that's just the way things are. So, but Otto Warburg in 1931 won a Nobel Prize for the discovery of the oxygenating enzymes. He's the guy who found out that, and he believed this for the rest of his life, that cancer is caused by lack of oxygen, and that acid drives out oxygen. That doesn't mean eating acid's bad. It means that injecting acid into your body is bad. Eating, it's different because your stomach is very acidic. It's not the same if you eat acid. It's got to do with the blood and the tissues in the body, whether they're acidic. That's what allows cancer. So that's something that was a 1931, I was going to say Academy Award. It wasn't an Academy Award. It was a Nobel Prize, 1931. Otto Warburg, the oxygenating enzymes he discovered. So yeah, so we're not getting into enzymes. We haven't been talking about all the complex stuff about how the body works because we don't know, frankly, how it works. But I mean, at some point, people can dig deeper into these subjects as they learn more. Anyone can. Oxygen, though. Now, what fascinates me is immediately why is the only thing that immediately jumps out at me is why is acid oxygen poor? Right, it's H plus acid. Well, it's got to have H. It's got to have hydrogen to be an acid, I guess. That's what it says, right? And whereas, right. Whereas an alkali has to have OH. Obviously, it's oxygen rich because it has the oxygen. So, that's the reason. If you're acidic, you've got less OH. You've got more H and less OH. Water breaks down into H and OH. It's H2O. It's H and OH. That's how you get acid and base from water. So a neutral water is pH 7. If it goes higher, it's alkali. It means it has more OH. If it goes less than 7, it's acidic. It means it has less OH, less oxygen. So acidic means driving out oxygen. Simple. Okay, but there's a lot more complex stuff that we could get into. But a pH of 8 is 10 times more alkaline, and a pH of 6 is 10 times more acidic than a pH of 7. So it's a logarithmic scale. Every one unit is 10 times, factor of 10. 9 is a factor of 100. 10 is a factor of 1,000 more alkaline than pH 7. So basically 7.6 is what the alkalinity of blood is. It's always kept at 7.6, and your body will do anything to keep the blood at 7.6. It will take calcium from your bones or whatever it has to do potassium or sodium or anything it can find anywhere to keep, and there's a sodium buffer that's used also to help keep the, according to the calcium factor book again, there's a sodium buffer that's used, it's a chemical compound of sodium that's used to keep the blood pH around 7.6. Blood has to be kept at 7.6. If your blood ever got acidic, you'd be basically dead, right? Just like I was thinking the other day, well, when my wife's bones became, you know, deficient in density, like low density, they became, the bone density was too low. When that happens, your bones are breaking, you know, or you're at risk of breaking them, and you're really in trouble. Like you're basically already past hope, you know, and all they can offer you are these experimental drugs that are just drugs, and it's you've already basically given up if you're going to get help from these experimenters who just experiment with poison. Is basically all it is poison. And basically also it doesn't work for that matter, but it didn't work in her case from what I can recall, but whatever. But I mean, I don't even believe in any of it. But so I don't even recall because I wasn't involved in it. Apparently I wasn't because I don't recall. It was very unfortunate that they give you these options. Don't even go there. You don't even want to go to those people. You need to get health by learning your body, using everyday food. Every day, every single day is an opportunity to learn about your body. If you go to a doctor, you're giving up that opportunity. You have that day to learn about your body. Every time you go to another physician who doesn't, especially a doctor who doesn't practice this kind of self-healing, you know, that they treat their own body every day with food, I don't mean treat their body other than by eating. I just mean treat their body by eating. I mean, we eat something every day. We have to eat something. So the choices that we make in what we eat, those are the... How much reflection am I getting here? Those are the things that's what I'm talking about. That might be better, no? The choices that we make... Oh, that's going to play a video, though. I don't want to have that happen. Stop that. Okay. There we go. The choices that we make in the food that we choose to eat every day. That's how we learn about our body. And we don't just do that. We have to also know something or learn something also that about what our body needs. Like, we need to know that our body needs calcium. We need to know that. We need to know our body needs vitamin K2 and vitamin D and magnesium and boron and some other things. Like, in my case, I haven't tried zinc as a supplement unless I do it. I must get it. I'm sure I get it in my daily. But I don't take my daily every day. But I mean, I haven't experimented with zinc because I've never found it. But at some point, you know, I might suddenly realize I'm not quite right. Maybe I'm missing zinc. And then if that happens, I can try zinc and see if that is what's happening. I've never noticed that. With iodine, I mean, I could be wrong all this time. I might need zinc all this time, and I haven't been taking it. It might be true. I did discover iodine, that I need iodine, and as soon as I increase the iodine, that's a huge help because iodine's beneficial for the IQ, I mean, for the function of the brain. And it helped my skin, apparently, or that with selenium together. I was taking two new supplements, and my skin improved by a factor of about 10, where my eczema took 10 times longer to manifest, like something. I mean, I didn't measure it. It's just a factor of 10, whatever that means. It's way far better, way better, in other words. That's all it means. It became way better than it was before. And it's seasonal partly too. It's not always the same all year round. Right now it's actually better than it was, I think, but I can't see it when my beard is still present. If I don't shave, I can't find the eczema as easily. It's there though. But it's not really bad, because I'd see the skin be flaking off. But I mean, I couldn't grow a beard because it was such, I had to have it, the skin had to be available for me to put the cream on or something. Well, I have a great cream I can put on too that heals the eczema in like 2 days. It's just a vitamin E cream. And that's the exception to where it's kind of the exception to saying that you never want to put something on your skin. And my cream is my exception to the rule that I have to be able to eat something or I won't put it on my skin. Because my cream, I don't think, is edible. But it's a vitamin E cream. I could eat the vitamin E, and I do take vitamin E supplements occasionally too. I take the alpha. What's it called? I forget what it's called. Buddy talks about it on his website. Andrew Saul on his website, DrYourself.com. He talks about the form of vitamin E that's the best one to take. That's the one I take, whatever it is. It's the L, alpha L or something? I forget what it is. I've got it. Let me get it. Let me see what it is. Yeah. This is assuming that I bought the right one, which I think I did, but I'm pretty sure I did, but still, can never be 100% sure. You have to do, as always, your own research. If you want to do it right, you have to do your own research. It's D-alpha tocopherol. Yeah, I was going to say tocopherol. D-alpha tocopherol acetate. The D-alpha, I think, is the crucial. The D-alpha tocopherol. Let me put it back in the fridge. I keep these things in the fridge. But if you read the studies about vitamin E, okay, they'll tell you that vitamin E might be implicated in, if you take a supplement, vitamin E supplement, it might cause cancer. So vitamin E might be implicated. So I stopped taking it when I read that. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'll just take a little less than what I was taking. But I also know that these people that they're talking about who are getting cancer, they're probably not taking vitamin K2, they're not taking calcium, they're not taking magnesium, they're not eating dairy or, you know, to get their calcium. They're not taking all the other great things they need to take. Like, they're not taking enough omegas, which I take as a supplement in the krill oil. They're not taking vitamin D, they're not taking the calcium, magnesium, you know, the K2. They're not taking all these things. So you can't justify or base your decision that vitamin E causes cancer on an experiment done on the general population, because they're not taking these other essentials. It's a meaningless thing. So if you operate out of fear, you don't understand that you need all those things, they're good for you, then you know you'll never take anything and you'll die of some disease that you got because you didn't get the nutrients you needed. So every day you need to do some research, a little bit of research every day, as well as a little bit of effort in choosing the right food every day too, to listen to your body, ask your body what it needs, and then take some of that, you know. And usually your body will tell you, well, mine does anyway, I need calcium every day. So I need like 3, 4, 5 servings of calcium, whatever, depending on the size of serving. Every day, I take calcium every day, just bar none, and it's got to be in sufficient quantities. And then I take my vitamin B12 as well. I take a lot of different vitamins that are essential, and I'm sure I'm not even doing enough. I'm sure of it. I'm sure I need other vitamins. I just haven't figured out what they are yet. But, I mean, if you hear me talking, you'll think I'm nuts, probably, if you've never discovered the effectiveness of a single vitamin yet, then you'll know I'm crazy. But as soon as you find out that a vitamin can help you, I think you'll change your mind probably. But the niacin is vitamin B3. That one had a profound effect on me. I'm not taking it anymore now because I don't seem to think I need it. But the first time I took it, my body changed instantly. So I mean, but every day, yeah. So how did I get onto that? I don't know. But if you're going to the doctor, you'll have no chance to get into that at all, because the doctor doesn't want you taking other stuff that interferes with medications. Or if you go to the hospital, they'll take away all your vitamins. And they did it at the retirement home for Anne. They took away all her medications, you see. Or anything that they weren't administering was taken away. They want to be in control, which is understandable, but it's not going to help you. So what you need to do if you want to get your health is start learning about your health, and don't listen to the other conventional research, except, you know, in the context of understanding that all this wisdom that they have is based on all these sick people who don't take the right supplements, probably, right? Be aware of what they're saying. Like the fact that I was told that sugar was bad, at first I thought, no, that's not right. Sugar can't be bad. Or when I heard that somebody's using a bone density test, I thought, if you've got to discover calcium deficiency by bone density being too low, then you're dead already. That was my reaction to that. But it's true. You're very hard to get your bone density back up, but I think you probably could if you do the same things I'm doing. And I mean, from the way your body needs it to be done, though, not the way I'm doing it, but the way your body needs to have it done. If you get enough calcium and all the right things you need to form bone, and the right, you know, your body will probably do that. You can probably get the density. But if you're getting older, very old, it gets harder too. So the sooner you start, the better is another thing. What was I saying again about the other thing? I got off topic. I went back to the bone again. But, you know, you need all these vitamins, possibly. Most of us need all of them, okay? I mean, most of them. I'd say all of us need all of them, but if I say that, then somebody's going to die, probably. But, you know, we need basically all these things. And, my calcium deficiency is detectable because my nails get brittle if I don't have enough calcium. So I know when I've got enough calcium, my nails don't break. So it's, for me, it's kind of simple. But for someone else, how do they know? You don't want to wait till your bones are brittle, till you've got low bone density. That's too late. So, I know what I was saying. I was saying if you go to the doctor, you're never going to get an opportunity to do the study you need on your own, which is through you need time and you need to be committed to yourself and your own abilities. You need to believe in yourself that you can do it. You need to believe in Jehovah that he can give you the information because he is the creator. And so your body, if you believe in your body, you're believing in Jehovah because he gave you the body that you have. He's the creator. He's not some weird person who runs an organization based in some big city in the States or something. You know, that's not Jehovah, okay? And it's like, yeah, when you talk about, if you look at John the Baptist and Jesus, John came preaching, then Jesus came preaching. None of them were associated with the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests of the temple. None of them. Neither of them, I mean. None of their followers were followers of the chief priests and the scribes, except the ones that chose to follow Jesus, of course. There were some that chose, even some of the, among the main factions who were running the Jewish religion at that time, there were some who followed Jesus, but they wouldn't do it publicly because they didn't want to be, you know, kicked out of their position. But the thing is, Jesus didn't follow the main religion of that time. He wasn't an adherent to that. He was following Jehovah, right? Anyway, let's follow Jehovah, children, my little children, to the director of Nehelos, a melody of David, Psalm 5. Jehovah, help us and give us undeserved kindness that we might understand these things in Jesus' name. It's like, yeah, the nutrition is an undeserved kindness too, right? The fact that we have all these nutrients available in the form of supplements that we can use them, we didn't deserve that. It was provided, just like somebody came out and released these things onto the market. They're available. You can go buy them. I wouldn't go to the... I'd buy them online, personally, because they're a lot cheaper. And you can research and find out whether it's any good. You can stick to known companies that are like Natural Factors is a good company, probably. I use Naturopathic Labs, but people like... Sometimes, but I mean, I use a lot of other companies. NACA is a company I use. I use anybody. As long as I think that they sound like they're doing... You know, they give a good report of their work. Coral calcium should have half as many milligrams of magnesium as it does calcium. If it doesn't, then it's not good coral calcium. That's marine coral calcium is the best because it has more magnesium, almost half as much, about half as much as the amount of calcium should be the magnesium. That's how you know about good coral calcium. But I mean, these things are undeserved. Psalm 5. To my sayings, do give ear, O Jehovah. Do understand my sighing. Oh, do pay attention to the sound of my cry for help. O my King and my God, because to you I pray. O Jehovah, in the morning you will hear my voice. In the morning I shall address myself to you and be on the watch. For you are not a God taking delight in wickedness. No one bad may reside for any time with you. And I just realized it's time to... Right. Let's see what we can do here. Verse 5. No boasters may take their stand in front of your eyes. You do hate all those practicing what is hurtful. You will destroy those speaking a lie. A man of bloodshed and deception, Jehovah detests. As for me, in the abundance of your loving kindness, I shall come into your house. I shall bow down toward your holy temple in fear of you. O Jehovah, lead me in your righteousness by reason of my foes. Make your way smooth before me. For in their mouth there is nothing trustworthy. Their inward part is adversity indeed. Their throat is an open burial place. A smooth tongue they use. God will certainly hold them guilty. They will fall due to their own counsels. In the multitude of their transgressions, let there be a dispersing of them, because they have rebelled against you. But all those taking refuge in you will rejoice. To time indefinite, they will cry out joyfully, and you will block approach to them. And those loving your name will exult in you, for you yourself will bless anyone righteous, O Jehovah. as with a large shield, with approval, you will surround them. What an excellent thing. Jehovah will block approach to the righteous who take refuge in him. He will block approach. That's amazing. See, there's something I just learned that. I mean, I'm sure I saw it before many years ago when I read it, whenever I read it last, whenever that was. But you need to review these from time to time. If you read it, more often the better, probably. But we need to, I believe, you know, we need to read the Bible. I mean, if you read it really intensively and you study it really hard for like some months or something, then maybe you don't have to read it again every single day thereafter for a while, maybe. But, I mean, you might. Depends on how well you retain in your individual case, I suppose, right? But you see how beneficial that can be? To know that Jehovah can block approach to the righteous, to those who put faith in him. He has that power to block approach to them. It's amazing to believe that, because then you're not sitting at home going, oh my goodness, they're going to come, they're coming for me, you know? You're not thinking that. Ecclesiastes 5, guard your feet when you go to the house of the true God. And let there be a drawing near to hear, rather than to give a sacrifice as the stupid ones do. For they are not aware of doing what is bad. Do not hurry yourself as regards your mouth. And as for your heart, let it not be hasty to bring forth a word before the true God. For the true God is in the heavens, but you are on the earth. That is why your words should prove to be few. For a dream certainly comes in because of abundance of occupation, and the voice of a stupid one because of the abundance of words. Whenever you vow a vow to God, do not hesitate to pay it. For there is no delight in the stupid ones. What you vow, pay. Better is it that you vow not, than that you vow and do not pay. Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was a mistake. Why should the true God become indignant on account of your voice and have to wreck the work of your hands? For because of abundance of occupation there are dreams, and there are vanities and words in abundance. But fear the true God himself. If you see any oppression of the one of little means and the violent taking away of judgment and of righteousness in a jurisdictional district, do not be amazed over the affair, for one that is higher than the high one is watching, and there are those who are high above them. Also, the prophet of the earth is among them all. For a field, the king himself has been served. A mere lover of silver will not be satisfied with silver, neither any lover of wealth with income. This too is vanity. When good things become many, those eating them certainly become many. And what advantage is there to the grand owner of them, except looking at them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of the one serving, regardless of whether it is little or much that he eats, but the plenty belonging to the rich one is not permitting him to sleep. There exists a grave calamity that I have seen under the sun. Riches being kept for their grand owner to his calamity, and those riches have perished because of a calamitous occupation. And he has become father to a son when there is nothing at all in his hand. Just as one has come forth from his mother's belly, naked will one go away again, just as one came. And nothing at all can one carry away for his hard work which he can take along with his hand. And this too is a grave calamity. Exactly as one has come, so one will go away. And what profit is there to the one who keeps working hard for the wind? Also, all his days he eats in darkness itself, with a great deal of vexation, with sickness on his part, and cause for indignation. Look, the best thing that I myself have seen, which is pretty, is that one should eat and drink and see good for all his hard work with which he works hard under the sun for the number of the days of his life that the true God has given him, for that is his portion. Also, every man to whom the true God has given riches and material possessions, he has even empowered him to eat from it and to carry off his portion and to rejoice in his hard work. This is the gift of God. For not often will he remember the days of his life, because the true God is preoccupying him with the rejoicing of his heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If I go shift command Z, I can bring my window back, transition. There I am again. That's what I should be doing, probably, to make the transition easier between the screens. That's one way. I can use Command Z and Shift Command Z to go forward and backward, so I make it an alteration. And I can do that every time now. This program will remember those steps. I don't have to. When I close it, I can then reopen it. And now I'll have to undo this. It probably won't remember it when I close it. So I need to put it back in the condition I want it to be in when I. Before I close it, I need to put it in the condition I want it to be in when I open it next time. So I don't think it will remember the changes. But I can make these changes before I even start the video next time, so that I can just, you know, do it and try to do it in the minimum number of steps. So I press Shift-Command-Z the minimum number of times and Command-Z the minimum number of times to go back and forth. So that's probably a long enough video. We've talked about a few things, but I mean, the thing is, when they start talking about these big reports about cheating and all this kind of thing, I mean, people want to know what to think about, you know, about anything, not just about cheating or not just about honesty. We have these people. Ben Feingold talks about the people who just have a different, a non-homologated? Look, how can I get my glasses so they don't reflect things? Is that from that? Let me just see. What's causing that? Well, there's a lot of stuff over on this side. There's a lot of bright windows. I can't get away from it. Okay, let me try. No. I'll work on that later, figuring that out. Yeah, no, I mean, you know what I think we should do? We should listen to some music, actually. But, I mean, a lot of people have ideas about cheating, but, I mean, if you want to know anything, it's more beneficial to read the scripture, as we can see by just reading a few chapters in the Bible. We can see that it's more beneficial to read that stuff than it is to try and learn anything from the news headlines or for any other way. You know, we're greatly benefited by meditating on things that have been dealt with thousands of years ago and talked about and understood, you know, centuries and centuries and centuries ago. You know, we don't need to get into millions of years and hundreds of thousands of years, because civilization hasn't been around more than, you know, well, actually, it's been around about 7,000 years, but or 7,500 years, but it hasn't been around much longer than that. And to say, it really wasn't there until, people say 5,000 years ago, because the reason we say 5,000 years ago is because of the deluge. The deluge came, and then 3282 was B.C. B.C. 3282 was the deluge. That's established by the genealogy, but it's logic, evidence, archaeology being a good part of the evidence as well, that shows that the Stone Age, you know, it is the evidence that this is the recovery from the deluge. And the timing for the deluge is absolutely fits with all the facts. It's fitting, and with all the chronology prior, when we calculate the generations from the Bible, it all fits using the Septuagint as a guide. So I've talked about this in my detailed articles on the subject, from Joseph basically onward. And what were we going to do? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about the cheating scandal, but Ben Feingold was saying something about how people have certain opinions. But I noticed that, too. It's no good to talk about what other people's opinions are. That's the problem. Acknowledging other opinions when they're wrong is a mistake to acknowledge. Even it's like Jehovah's Witnesses, if they claim to be Jehovah's Witnesses and they're saying if they spend most of their time presenting their opponent's viewpoint, then how are they Jehovah's Witnesses if they're presenting their opponent's viewpoint? It doesn't make any sense. It's like Jesus said, rejoice when you're persecuted. How are you rejoicing when you're persecuted if you're spending all your time complaining about the persecution and claiming you're being tortured and talking about all the suffering that people are causing you? That's not rejoicing. So you're not rejoicing if you're actually acknowledging your persecutors. That's not rejoicing. That's not it. It can't be it. So that's false. It's just wrong. So they can't have the truth if they're talking like that. You basically have to deny your persecutors their pleasure. Don't acknowledge that they're doing anything. That's basically what you have to do in order to be happy and to be in the truth. You have to rejoice. This kind of seems obvious to me, but what do I know? What was I looking for here? Let's see, try that. What's this? Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Now we have to go. Yeah, I want to go back. Yeah. Yeah, this is good. So where was I? Yeah, I don't want to show you what I'm doing right now. I want to find it. Here it is. Here's something. Well, I had a really good video yesterday. I'm not sure which window it's in. That isn't it. That's not it. Let's see. I had a really good video. Now probably it's... I'm not going to say anything negative. I hope I'll say something positive. But let's find it. Here it is. Yeah, this one. This is the one here. Okay, so if I can drag it down. There we go. Is it here? Oh, no. I lost it. Uh-oh. Okay, stop. I lost it. Where is it? Where is it? Where are you? I dragged it. Oh, here it is. Yeah, okay. I got it again. I got it. Pardon me. Let's just try. My dragging doesn't work on this computer. I can't drag successfully all the time. It messes up. Okay. So here we are. Let's put this, do this. Close that. Let's try and do this. I'm getting there. Right here. Right. Okay. So let's play a song. What's this one? This is the one. If I Had You. This is Joshua Stefan live in Germany. From the year, evidently, when is it? It doesn't say. I think it says somewhere. Hang on. It doesn't even say here. Okay. Let's do it.
To blue if I had you. Leave the old days behind. Leave all my pals. I never mind. I could start my life all anew if I had you.
Okay, so, what am I doing now? Undo or redo? Redo. Undo or redo? I'm trying to think. Oh, undo. Maybe. No? Oh, I've redone it. I see. I've already redone it. Okay. So, it's not really, let's undo that. Yeah, it's not really that important to resize, I guess, but anyway, so this is Ward Green. It is Wednesday, October 5th. I'm going to try to resize anyway. There we go. I can't resize that. Okay, that's good. Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. Is that true? Is that correct? Did I do that? Well, it alternates. Okay. Yeah, it's October 5th, 2022, 1541 hours. Ward Green saying, bye for now. Have a great day. I love you.